Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
If mommy's not home soon, I'm going to start crying. Aww. And I said, well, if mommy's not home soon, I'm going to start crying.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Don't Make Me Come Back There. We are a funny podcast about family. My name is Dustin Nickerson. I'm a stand-up comedian, the host of the aforementioned podcast. And alongside me in our state-of-the-art recording studio above Public Square Coffee in downtown La Mesa, California, is my lovely wife, my co-host, and my best friend, Melissa Nickerson.
Hey there.
How are you, Mel?
I'm so good. I just talked to our son for like 2 minutes.
Yeah. And we wanted to get answers on grades, housing for next year, current track schedule, and whether or not he's traveling with a team. Did you get any resolve on any of the
zero
big three?
Zero.
Great. Well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Spring break, flights.
Yeah.
Yeah, none of it.
Well.
Nope. It's okay.
Mel's,
it's nice to talk to him.
Mel's dressed like a grown-up 13-year-old right now. Mel's got that hot 1996 polo going.
Going to private school.
Yeah, yeah. You got a. Did I say hot? No, I said grown-up 13-year-old. Right? Yeah. That's like yeah. You got the. You got the all-grown boarding school look growing. Like the teacher would have to dress. The teachers don't wear the uniforms. I don't know. I never went to private school. I went to the very opposite of what private school was.
Yeah.
The most public school imaginable.
Exactly. I have a polo on. That's the point.
Yeah, you have a polo. Well, I've been told polos are back.
Gen Z loves their like what do you call that? What's that casual terminology? It's left me.
Preppy. The preppy polo?
Yeah.
Casual?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like work casual.
Okay.
Polo, khakis, you know?
They call it the Gen... What do they call like the early 2000s when they're talking about clothes? Millennial or like our kids will mention it. Like, yeah. It doesn't matter.
Man. Huh.
None of this matters.
Just we're really plugged in. We're out.
We're just...
Polos are back. And you know what else is back? Brian Bates is back on the pod, ladies and gentlemen.
Uh-huh.
Longtime front seater. Early guest on the pod. I did an Appleton episode with him years ago.
Did you?
Years ago. He's been on virtually. Man. He's been on in person. Good friend of the pod. Mm-hmm. Recording a special at the end of this month. I believe it's already sold out.
Yep.
But it's going to be out on the Nateland Network soon. But yeah, check it out. See Brian on tour. Watch him online. We're going to talk to him. We haven't talked to him yet, so I can't really give a preview for the episode yet. But I know we're going to ask him how his solo dad weekend with Eleanor was.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Hopefully he doesn't say that thing where you go like, I was babysitting. No, you weren't. You were watching your child.
He didn't say that.
No. I'm just saying.
Selfie video.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying, like, mm-hmm. That's an old thing where people would say that. You know, so, like, you're not babysitting.
Right. Kids, the funniest part was he did this video on his Instagram, and then Eleanor's in the background watching YouTube. And then Eleanor turns around. She's like, Dad, who are you talking to? And
hilarious. He's
like, not that many people. Like, very funny. And then she was like, it looks like you're talking to yourself.
It's
very funny.
Well, you kind of are. So
3-year-old roast. Yeah. Yep.
Well, speaking of talking to yourself and not mm-hmm. always that many people, I got some upcoming dates to promote myself. Segway King today here.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. This is airing
in the future.
Let's just hit you with the April dates, ladies mm-hmm. and gentlemen. April 2nd through 4th, I'm going to be at Helium Comedy Club in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And then April 11th in Belleville, Illinois, which is near St. Louis. That's selling quick. Woo. Going to be in the Courtney Show promoted there. And then Fort Wayne, Indiana, Lansing, Michigan, Portland, Oregon. I think we're up to a ninth show there. Missoula, unfortunately, sold out. But thank you, Missoula. Spokane, Vancouver, we added a third show. Las Vegas, Birmingham, Atlanta, Columbus, Cincinnati, Louisville, Buffalo, Pittsburgh, Denver, Eugene. I made this mistake. The last recording we did, too, which I hadn't updated that doc yet. Hold on. I'm going to my own Instagram.
Okay, well, hold tight.
Everybody, this is riveting content. Then after Eugene, I am in Springfield, Missouri, Columbia, Missouri, Jacksonville, Orlando, Dayton, Rochester, Albany, Syracuse, San Jose, Lowell, Arkansas, Naples, Florida, Tampa, Florida, Grand Rapids, Michigan, Detroit, Michigan, Indianapolis, Indiana, Austin. You know what? When you say that all day, you're like, I'm hitting a lot of Michigan and Florida.
Mm-hmm.
You're welcome.
Mm-hmm.
Swing states, baby. I'm a swing state act, so... Go check that out. A couple things
oh,
there.
You also didn't say San Diego.
But... Oh, my gosh. San Diego, November 28th.
Oh, yeah.
That's not on any document yet, and it's there on a big old graphic. The Balboa Theater. Check it out. Mel, can you hand me all this good stuff
okay.
here? We're
going
to do a quick review of this. So some fun stuff that people...
These are from the cruise.
These are from the cruise. So
don't make me come back there. Magnets.
Yeah, which somebody gave us, which is great. Mm-hmm. A little Nateland. These were from the casino, the Nateland
at chip. Sea.
Nateland at Sea. There mm-hmm. you go. I have a Zany's version of that as well from Chicago. Abe Auer, who's a funny comic based in Wisconsin, he gave me this. This is crazy. This is a very classic Jay Buhner card. What do you note in that Jay Buhner card? Ken Griffey Jr. also in it.
Wow.
Yeah.
That, I mean, I rarely see that on a baseball
yeah,
card.
Yeah. He's kind of looking up at him. It's a great speech when Ken Griffey got inducted into, I think it would have been the Mariners Hall of Fame because mm-hmm. it's at Safeco. Or it might have been Buhner's. Induction. I don't remember what the event was, but Griffey's talking about how he ended up being best friends with this guy, even though he's so different. And then he said, like, it was a crazy thing. He said, like, if anything ever happened to my kids, there's no one I would want to raise them more than him. And then you just see, like, Jay Buhner, whose nickname was The Bone, and he would come out and bad to the bone and shaved head, and he's just, like, crying. It's a really sweet moment. Really sweet
That's
moment,
cool.
you know? So... Okay, so in Oshkosh last Wednesday, our time, mm-hmm. I did
Wednesday. Okay,
last it doesn't okay. matter. I did, you know, it was in the past.
You were there Sunday.
I was there Sunday,
yes.
But by the time this was airing, this
was
a month ago.
Yeah,
you guys. You're adding shows on Tuesdays for me, which I'm very grateful for, like in Tacoma and yeah. Portland, Missoula.
So I have to bank all
we
these.
We have to bank these puppies. Andy yeah. needs a life. He's going on vacation. We're out here trying to yeah. do some stuff. So,
mm-hmm. Got three notebooks here.
Yeah. So, Time, the Time Community Theater in Oshkosh there, the venue, the guy who managed it, very kind. He's a fan. He's like, I've loved you since I saw you on After Midnight. And I was like, oh, that's cool. And we talked to him for a while. And he wanted to give me a gift. And he goes, listen, I did three of these and two of them I messed up on. But I know comedians need notebooks. So mm-hmm. I got you a personally engraved notebook. And what's it say on there? Can you read that?
Things to do before 40.
That's from my joke about the girl on the plane who wrote down things to do before 40.
Oh, my gosh.
Isn't that awesome? It's a notebook
wow.
that says things to do before 40. And
oh
then he had
gosh.
Messed up on a couple, which I figured you'd appreciate the, you know, the ones where they didn't come in as clearly. Like the G got a little messed up on that one. So,
oh, my gosh.
Really, really thoughtful.
So he must have an engraving machine.
Yeah, we still.
Oh, the G's upside down.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Isn't that funny and
that
nice and thoughtful
funny.
And
that's cool.
And I was like, I mean, I told him, I go, listen, if you're gonna give a comedian anything, a notebook is a good thing because you know mm-hmm. we use them a lot. So.
Oh my gosh. I didn't know why you had three notebooks.
Yeah.
So funny.
It's so funny. And he handed me three individually wrapped. They were wrapped individually. Really nice. Super fun venue.
Oh, my gosh.
I already told Oshkosh, the promoter there, Lyle.
You want to come back?
Yeah. I was like, next time in Minneapolis. And mm-hmm. which when you talk about, like, our fellow Christians will love this. When we talk about how small the Christian world is.
Yeah.
And he was talking to them, and he's, you know, in comedy and promotes this great show and does a great job. And he's like, yeah, you know, I used to be a part of an Acts 29 church too. And I was like, yeah. And he's like, yeah, have you ever heard of Mago Day in Portland? I go, of course. I go, the Blue Like Jazz Church, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, this is so niche and so specific. Like Rick McKinley's church, Bill Clem was there for a while. I was like, yeah, you know it. I was like, I know it. And here we are now. Here my now here comes my hour of material.
Is that Donald Miller?
That was Donald Miller's church. Yeah. Which the funny thing is, he was just, I'm not, this is relevant. Yeah. This is terrible podcast content, except for 30 listeners who are like, finally. But he just attended that church and he wrote that book.
And he wasn't the custom pastor.
Yeah, well, that's, and then tie into Mark. Listen, we,
was it? Oh,
you know,
okay.
That's,
I'm going to be honest, I did not read.
Mel, that's our, yeah. Don't go, don't
so
do
sorry,
a,
everyone.
You know, that's our Voldemort. That's all right, enjoy this episode, everybody.
All right, bye.
Yeah, we already did an intro for you, and, you know, the part of the, you know, we were going to have you on to, you know, talk about your big taping, but it already sold out. Are you adding shows? What's the plan there?
No, we're not adding shows. Not for the taping. I did add a show for a dress rehearsal, so the night before the taping. I have a show at Zany's and trying to get people to come to that because that's also very important because we'll run my set before before the big taping.
Yeah. How are you feeling about it? When was the last time you recorded? Because you've got a couple albums out there.
I did a Dry Bar special probably 2.5 years ago. So that was my last one.
Yeah. And you have one. How many albums do you have out? Like, what do you got out spinning on Sirius and stuff?
I have one album and then two Dry Bar specials.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. How are you feeling about this one versus previous? You know, better, worse, the same, nervous, excited?
I'm definitely nervous because we're only doing one take and, you know, you got to get it right. You got to hope that audience is good. And
yeah,
everyone's trying to encourage me to, by saying, you know, oh, they'll be fine. But I tell you, I was at, well, I probably shouldn't say this. I was at Mike Vecchione's taping. He did not like the first taping. He came off and was like, we don't have it. And the second show went much better. So there's no guarantee that, you know, that they'll be great.
I this is going to be a name droppy story, but by the end of it, it won't be. Like, you'll see, it's not actually an impressive story. So I just recorded 3 weeks ago and it was the opposite. The first crowd was great.
Yeah.
The second crowd was good, but not the first. They weren't amazing, and there were moments that I was on stage going, I'm glad this isn't the first crowd. Like, I'm glad that this one, because it's just not hitting the way that you want it to, and it does happen. And sometimes, you know, I've talked to Tomlinson and stuff about this. Sometimes crowds get tight because they know it is a taping, so there are a lot of variables. So I'm not going to sit here and promise you that it's going to go well, because it might not. No. but I talked to, so randomly, Brian Regan was there, and here's why this is not a name-droppy story. It wasn't that he came out for my taping or he produced it like Brian Regan or like he did Steve Rogers. He had played the arena across the street
on Valentine's Day.
On Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
And here he is, you know, in kind of the golden age of, or like, the, you know, the like, what do they call maybe the tail end. He's
the
not
twilight years?
The twilight years of his career, still playing arenas. And but what he said to me is, he goes, every time he did a first show, anytime he recorded twice, he said, or he said the first show, he always walked off like, well, that wasn't it. <You know? laughs> And it's similar to Vecchione, but maybe none of this is good, you know, vibes to put out in the air here, but it is a different thing live performing.
It's
for
totally
live
different.
Taping.
Are you guys doing a Sunday night or a Saturday or what?
It's a Monday night. It's in place of
New Material Mondays,
Potluck
or Nateland.
In place of Nateland Live.
Okay.
Just finding the time and the space for a venue, and we've been working on this for a year, so
yeah.
They finally said, I think we're going to have to do a Monday night.
And yeah.
That's fine.
Well, I am very, as your friend, and I was saying in your intro here, I mean, this is your third or fourth time on the pod, and just like has known your stuff like over the years, you know, since we've been working together. I'm very, very excited for this special to come out because you've always been funny and you've always had very good material. This material, because of how much your life has changed,
yeah,
is very unique and different and incredibly interesting and really will stand out. You know, like it's like you've always had good jokes, you've always had a good point of view, but now you're telling stories that nobody else is out there telling, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So excited. Yeah. Excited for to get for people to see it. And it'll stand out on the Nateland page. You know, it's not going to be like, you know, if you want peanut butter material, that's what Greg's for.
That's right.
But if you want old dad material, this is what Brian Bates is for.
Yeah.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I appreciate that. I've learned the term. I didn't even know this term, but once I heard it, now I've heard it a million times in different conversations. Pickups. Do you know this term for comedy? Basically, it means if there's a joke or something that didn't land the way you want it or you said it wrong, you go back and do it again. It's a pickup. Like,
oh, interesting.
Redo it.
Oh,
and, yeah.
So I've been told that a lot. Like, oh, if there's something didn't work, we'll just do a pickup and we'll redo it.
But
I hope that doesn't have to happen.
Yeah, that's funny. I've never heard that term, but I have seen that and I have done it. And I will say crowds like it when you do it.
That's what everyone tells me.
Yeah.
Because it's behind the scenes.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you know how you're going to format the show? Like kind of... Go ahead.
I'm getting close. I'm working on my set now.
I do want to hear that, but I mean the format of the show itself, the night. Like, are you going to do...
You have an opener.
Like, my last two, I'll go out very first, but not start the special, and then I'll bring the hosts up just to kind of, like, acknowledge the stuff, you know? But there's different schools of thoughts there that, like, no, you want them to be... You want that initial excitement of them seeing you. Do you know how you're going to format the show itself?
Yeah, that's very interesting because that's exactly what I've been thinking. I think Aaron Weber and Dusty Slay are going to be my openers.
They kind of
volunteered themselves to do it. I'm worried that Dusty will do more time than I do.
He'll run the light.
There's a decent chance of that.
He's like, that's, roll the cameras. I need some footage.
I'm trying to get some clips.
Yeah.
That's very funny.
And I get in my head about... you know, guys that are really funny, I get in my head, like, am I going to be up there on stage and thinking that the audience is thinking, well, those last guys were funnier than
No.
But do you at least understand what I'm... You ever
totally understand what you mean? Two specials ago, Tomlinson opened for me.
Yeah.
And Weber.
I went Weber-Tomlinson. So I totally understand what you mean. Mm-hmm. But if anything... That'll make you step it up. You know, you're not going to, you know, when you, anytime you're following someone good, you're not going to get all lackadaisical up there. You're going to be like, all right, well, time to
cut out for you.
Yeah. Time to keep this party going. You know, you're a pro. You've been a pro for a long time. You know, you'll rise to the occasion.
I think it will add to the energy of the show. You know?
Yeah.
Especially since...
Excuse me. Allergies in Tennessee.
No worries.
Yeah.
The three of you have the podcast together, and you have a lot of rapport, and everyone will be so excited that they get to see all three of you on a Monday night.
Yeah, I hope so. I do think, Dustin, I had thought about going out first, just saying, hey, this is what we're doing. Lay out a few little... tidbits that I want to say, and then introduce Aaron.
I like doing it. I've done it the last two times, and to me, it also like sets the opener up in a good spot where they don't have to cover like the announcement-y stuff of it all, which you're like, hey, this is, I mean, I'll do a couple little jokes, and but it's mostly like, this is how a taping works. I know it's weird, there's cameras, but I didn't use the term the pickups, but I do tell them that. I'm like, and if I mess up a joke, I'm gonna retell it and you're gonna laugh like it's your first time hearing it and all that stuff. And then it helped me too, because then, you know, to me, I don't know how you feel this, and we're getting a little insider baseball here, but you know, this is a comedy podcast. It's always so awkward starting specials, because you don't start the way you normally start, which is like, it's great to be here in Salt Lake. And you just, because on, you know, where they're watching the special, they don't care about it.
You have to get right into your material.
That is hard. That is hard. I've already been thinking about that. I'm going to want to say things about Aaron and Dusty, and I can't do that for a special. So maybe I'll say that off the top.
And the nice thing is that that night, the dress rehearsal, will you'll get a total feel for that. We did that, and Andy produced, and Andy shot the whole thing, and it was just good for everybody involved to just be like, oh, go feel like small things of like, I realized like for the, I didn't want a mic stand because I don't like, because you know how sometimes you get caught in the mic stand. And you know, it doesn't happen a lot, but sometimes you get caught in the mic stand and it doesn't go as smooth as you want.
Are you talking about the cord?
Yeah, and so like just the taking it off, and then the sometimes you have to undo it from the mic stand because the previous comic had done it, and then you have to grab it, and sometimes that is weird. Sometimes it doesn't go as smooth. And in a normal show, you don't think anything about it. But at a taping, and this is what Nate does, is when other shows, I just picked it up off the stool. Andy had placed it there, and you're like, and I had not even thought of that till the Friday. So the fact that, and it's all about you getting comfortable, and you know that. And but it's different than your dry bar because you really are in charge that night. Dry bar, you're on dry bar. When I've done dry bar, they're like, this, they tell
Stand
you.
Here.
So you get to do whatever you want that makes you feel the most comfortable.
Did you do any do-overs? Pickups?
I don't
three
think
weeks
so.
Ago?
Yeah. I don't think I did. So. I did on Runs in the Family where I straight up forgot a joke and had to stall and then had to like rewind a little bit and it ended up, and then in the credits we show me forgetting the joke. Just like this time in this special that's like going to come out in the credits, we're going to have somebody that fell asleep during my show. And I'm like, why does this keep happening? This has happened two of my three specials.
That's right. I remember the last one.
Yeah. So, well, this was a question because we let our people know.
And I think you're on that Facebook group.
Oh, yeah. I think you are.
The Dustin Nickerson Comedy Facebook group.
Yeah. Thank you.
I already perused the questions.
Oh, okay. Well, then great. This is from Michael. How excited are you on getting your first special, which is well-deserved and overdue? Like, not on a nerve, sir. Are you excited? Are you pumped?
I'm very excited. And I'll be even more excited once it's over and it goes well. Mm-hmm. There is part of me that worries, Dustin, that the night before the dress rehearsal, that crowd will be so hot. I'll be thinking the whole time, why can't this be the crowd?
One? Yeah.
Oh man, I hadn't even thought about that.
There's almost a part of me that wants that crowd to be bad.
Get it out of the way. You just never know.
Oh, that's so funny. Yeah.
Never know.
I had a comic tell me that about tapings in general, that when you're going into a taping, it is nice when your last one is a bomb. And it's totally counterintuitive. They are like, no, because that keeps you sharp.
Well, you mean the last taping?
Your last run through.
Oh, okay.
When you did the Tonight Show, did you do the Comedy Cellar the night before?
Yes, I did. Yeah.
Did that go well?
You do it like four times in the different rooms, and it went half and half well.
Yeah.
But then the stand, it had went really bad. And then one of the cordons I did, the last one I ran.
I was going to say.
Yeah, and you were there. This actually happened twice at the store where I was running and I was up late. And I once was in the belly room and then once was in the OR. and it just went terribly. And both times I started telling them, I was like, these jokes are supposed to be on TV tomorrow. And you'd be, and that ended up being like a funny thing. But yeah, they did not.
You did Don't Tell too.
Yeah.
That was hilarious.
I'm like, yeah. I'm just talking about how this material kept bombing and like ends up might not have been a great set. That's right. But I don't know. Well, I think there's an argument either way. Like if it goes great, then you'll just ride that momentum.
Right.
It's going to go well, man. The material.
It always encourages you to bomb before you do a special or before a late night set. I've heard him say that many times.
Nate does?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Go bomb the night before.
That's hilarious.
Just to like shake it out.
Yeah.
Your
what would he know from his 50 late night appearances or whatever? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I know.
But overall, you're excited. Yeah.
I'm very excited. Yes. Mm-hmm. And I'm getting more excited. At first I was just nervous. Now that I'm running my set, getting it down, getting it kind of, I'm feeling more and more confident about it.
So yeah.
I'm feeling more excited about it.
That's great. That's fantastic. Yeah. Well, switching gears to the family side of our podcast, you had a solo dad weekend this weekend. Yeah.
I told him that I saw that on Instagram. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you guys were, and Eleanor roasted you. Yeah,
she did.
Dad, why are you talking to yourself?
Yes. First she said, who are you talking to? And I'm like, very few people. And then she said, you're talking to yourself.
Yeah.
So true.
Yeah.
So true.
How'd it go? Was it, this wasn't the first one, was it? Or
He used to kind of, didn't you kind of watch her like midweek for a while? I remember you. No. Okay. All right.
Not really. I mean, here and there, my wife's gone out of town a few times for like a work trip for a couple of days. This was just a weekend. A much needed weekend for her to get away with her girlfriends. She hasn't really had one of these since Eleanor's been born.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So yeah, I stayed home and when she got home, I told her, I knew your job was tough as a mom, but I don't know how you do it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I lost my cool.
Sure.
I'm a pretty laid back guy. I think you know that. And she had a meltdown Saturday night and then I had a meltdown with her.
Yep.
We both melt down together.
I said some things I regret.
I'm laughing.
It comes out of you. I'm like, where did this come from?
Yeah. Yeah.
It was tough. We had a full day Saturday. And she got overstimulated and overtired. So when it came time for bedtime, she had a complete meltdown, didn't want to take a bath. I'm wrestling her to get her clothes off. Like if somebody just somehow saw what was going on, they're like, there's a crime happening.
Yeah.
And it's hard to make a child take a bath if they don't want to.
Right.
You can't really force someone in the water and hold them down.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was.
Everyone gets wet.
Yeah. It looks like you're drowning them.
Exactly. So I finally got her to sleep Saturday night. I felt really bad about my actions and how I responded. And then like in my head, I'm like, I've scarred her for life. Sunday morning, she pops up. Couldn't have been sweeter. Like it doesn't resonate with her. Like
she's not holding on to the resentment.
She's like, listen, Dad, I was out of line too.
Neither of us wanted that bath that we both got.
Yeah. There was one time where she said, if mommy's not home soon, I'm going to start crying. Aww. And I said, well, if mommy's not home soon, I'm going to start crying.
You're like, I'm sorry, Eleanor, but this is going on stage.
Yeah. It was one of those things that was really hard, but then when by the time the weekend was over and I did it, I felt like I accomplished something. There's all these dad memes out there of dad watching the kid for 1 hour and then strutting in like he's Vince McMahon or something.
Yeah.
That's so much me. I'll do one little thing and I feel like I'm a hero.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Remember those days?
That's the trope. Yeah. There's lots of memes about dads with their hands full at the store with the kids and everyone's like, you're such a good dad. And then the moms in the store with the kids and they're like, get them together. What's your problem?
Yeah.
You know, and it's
a low bar.
Yeah.
But the closest, because I do remember those days and I felt them a million times and I've said the same thing to you. I remember one time Melissa, this is the closest that I ever felt the opposite of that. Mel went on the road one weekend with Tay and I. You took a red eye and you met us in Birmingham and we slept and we did the show in Birmingham. The next day we drove to Nashville. The next day we drove to Knoxville and then we flew home.
Yes.
And you were in the back of the car on the drive to Knoxville going, I don't know how you do this every weekend. And that was the closest I ever felt. To-
because it was three hotels, three cities. We started with the red eye and I wasn't performing.
Yeah.
I wasn't performing, but I was exhausted.
Yeah.
You just start to lose, like, you're like, I have no idea where my hotel room was. I don't know what, where am I? Who am I?
Why am I?
Yeah.
But you also had the kids with you, didn't you?
Nope.
Not on this trip. No.
Okay. I might be getting mixed up with another one.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Taylor.
A lot of stories.
Well, and Taylor just plays the Ryman so regularly. You know, you're like, oh, wow.
Yeah, we have taken the kids out for sure on a lot of. You know, blending vacation with comedy.
Yeah.
I remember
working
a time
vacations.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll get to mix it. Dusty, you were at Zany's one time and I think Melissa flew in like later cross country with the kids.
And, I do remember that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've come out. Yeah. We love coming to Nashville like as a family or as a couple. And, but yeah, it's just, that like the delayed flights and the red eyes, it really wears you down. But so does having a long Saturday, a solo Saturday with, you know, parenting. It's exhausting. And that's something that Ruth does quite often.
Yeah.
By herself. Just, so the role reversal of that.
Yeah. Eleanor wakes up at least usually once during the night. And she has to go potty or something comes in the room. So, uninterrupted sleep is not a thing that Ruth experiences.
Mm-hmm.
But, I don't know how she does. Somebody's knocking on my door, but I'm not going to go check.
And Eleanor, Eleanor gets
not
up.
Eleanor.
And you're like, well, actually, I was up going to the bathroom too. So,
yeah, my age, there's a good chance.
Yeah. Fancy you're seeing like, you okay. here.
Yeah. I just headed that way myself.
Well, now that I'm up.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, and I don't know how detailed you guys get on this podcast, but you can edit this out, I guess. So I took
Tell me you got a bigger Nate Land podcast than I do.
I took her to a play thing. It's called Monkey's Treehouse because it was raining. It was indoor play thing.
Classic.
Yep.
And she had to go potty and I also had to go to the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
Now I have purposely never gone to the bathroom in front of her because of some questions that she may have, but this was the time where I had to go.
Right.
And I was hoping she wasn't even paying attention.
Monkey's Treehouse was the place. Sorry.
And at first she wasn't even paying attention. I thought, I think I might get away with this with her not even seeing it. And then right when I was finishing up going, she saw that I'm standing and going. She's and she like, was what? So perplexed.
Yeah.
She was like, what are you doing? And I said, well, boys pee standing up. And then she was like, how do you do it? And like, I kind of tried to explain it to her best I could, but she got a little lesson. And
Yeah.
I'm going to just pause this and reverse it.
I hope you're going to tell me. I hope this is okay.
I don't know what you think I'm going to say. I'm going to say that as moms, you know, you have all these kids and you're swimming.
This is the where I hope you're going. This is my, Brian, this never crossed my mind. And this is why it's good that you're an older, more mature father than I was. But when Mel started to explain to me the dynamic of swimming and having to take your child to the bathroom while you were in a swimsuit.
So, depending on how many children you have and if you're solo. You're in a stall or maybe a private bathroom.
Yes.
But everything you're saying is what you said. Don't open the door. You know, do not touch that latch. Because I don't want everyone to see me.
Yeah.
But then if you're a mom and you're wearing a one piece.
You don't have a lot of options there. You
do not have a lot of options.
Yeah.
You just got to tell your kids to look away. Look away, child. Turn around.
Oh, wow.
Now, there are some women who get creative, but there's it's all coming off where you're doing some twisting, and it's bad.
Parenting is very, very humbling and at times kind of humiliating.
And I had a friend. Yeah. She had four kids. She just peed in the pool.
Right, which is a classic, yeah. Which,
She's like, I don't have time to get out.
Is a good segue question. Somebody asked, how are swim lessons going, Brian?
You know, we talked about my swim lessons when I was on here, I think a year ago.
Yeah.
And I've stopped. So I don't know how they're going. I can swim, not great, mm-hmm. but if I were in a pool, you know, I can swim from one side to the other.
Right.
I don't do it well. I exhaust myself pretty quickly because I'm so out of shape and I don't have great form, but I can do some basic swimming. I can't like dive down and get something off the bottom of the pool.
Right.
My daughter can. Eleanor can.
Yeah.
She's still going to swim lessons.
She can do it for you.
Yeah. So
and part of the reason you're so tired, by the way, is you don't have the muscle memory of how to do it. Like, this is like Mel in running. Like, Mel was a collegiate runner, and though you don't run as much anymore, like, no. You can still crank out a 5K fast and not tired, even though you're not in the running shape.
I'm still tired, but I can do it.
Yeah. You know? The muscle memory of knowing how to conserve the energy and all.
I don't start out too fast. I know.
You have proper form, proper technique.
Yeah, she beats me every time.
Yeah, and I don't have. I've never had that. That's why you should learn as a child, if you can, to do anything like that, because learning as an adult is not easy.
Right, right. Well, I'm glad that you guys weathered through, you know, the solo weekend and Monkey's Treehouse. You made it through both a lot, and hopefully not too scarred.
I did let her fall. I'm embarrassed about that.
That happens, man.
Monkey's Treehouse. And at first, I'm underneath. And then I got a lot. She was doing so well. I let my guard down.
Yeah.
And she got to the top and something happened and she fell. And I was just, it was like slow motion, but I could not move.
Yeah.
And I just watched her fall.
Yeah.
She looked like a Buffalo Bills fan just going through the table.
Oh, yeah.
Except it was on a pad.
Yeah.
And she went around her back and she cried a lot, but she's okay.
You know, I don't mean to downplay your only child and your baby girl's fall, but I'm here to tell you, I think Monkey's Treehouse has seen some falls before.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm sure they have.
I think the guy who worked there did come
over and ask, is she okay? Does she need an ice pack? But
yeah,
it's nice.
And all the moms were judging me.
Yeah.
You got to get rid of that mom guilt.
Yeah. Yeah. Give Brian a little coaching up on mom guilt, how to get rid of mom guilt. That's that mom side eye as if they didn't push their kid down an hour before.
Yeah.
No, I mean, honestly, a lot of parenting philosophies now are like, you have to let your kids do risky play so they can. That's a whole thing. Yeah, There's books called like The Benefits of a Skinned Knee or something.
That's the pamphlet they had hand you at Monkey's Treehouse. Climb higher.
Go.
Yeah.
Move the pads. We got an old rope they can climb like high school in the 70s with a flat mat at the bottom too.
Right.
We do encourage throwing poop here.
Yeah.
But it helps. Test their limits. And so, actually now you're not even supposed to say like, be careful to your kids if they're climbing.
Yeah.
You're supposed to be like, trust your body.
I don't think I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
So don't let that mom guilt stop you, Brian. Yep.
I think as an old parent, even though I'm a new parent, I'm old, I'm going to just go with the stuff that parents were learning back in the 80s when I should have been having kids.
So your kids don't have a car seat?
Yeah, exactly.
No car seat.
That's up front with me.
Hey, you can ride up front next to me and hold my beer, or you can ride in the back of the pickup truck with the dog.
Yeah. But I'm glad you said that. I do want to ask this to you guys. So she turns 4 next week.
Mm-hmm.
Our pediatrician recommended that the car seat, she's still facing back.
Yeah. Rear facing.
Oh, mm-hmm. don't make us get political on here, Brian.
Is that a political?
Oh my god, a car seat drunk. Oh my gosh, when to turn the kid around? When they can get? I would rather give you my voting history than talk about this publicly.
I had no idea this was a political issue.
Oh my gosh!
Here comes
this is good. You're not on certain Facebook groups. I mean, I'm looking at Andy, who's in a bunch of homeschool co-ops.
Yeah.
There's a lot of controversy over all the car seat, which way they should face, when you should turn them around, when they should just go to the booster, when they're thinking out of the booster and just do the seat belt. How, and because it age based, is it size
based? You're like length.
I mean, Melissa, for example,
who get a car seat that comes with a vaccine or not?
Yeah. Melissa, who was a late bloomer, I think that you'd have been in a car seat till you're 14 based on current standards.
Rear facing.
Yeah. So you're saying you're not sure when to turn her around, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I'm here to tell you, I will not give you my take.
Just go down a wormhole.
List
online.
Give me a list of 20 of RFK's policies, and I will give you those before my take on those. Before I'll tell you what I think you should do in a car seat.
Back in 2010. You could turn your baby at one.
Yeah. Then after that, let's break into what type of bed or crib they should be in, and should they sleep next to you in the bed, or should they be in a side sleeper, it's just so much drama and so many hot takes.
In the 80s, playpens were a thing.
I was in a playpen. I think my playpen was in a tavern in the 80s. I turned out gray. My mom and dad are over here. They throw me in here. They're over playing darts and pull tabs.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm having the time of my life with a little shaker. I'm so happy for you, Brian, that you have not got caught up in any of this. Maybe people are in your community or in the South or whatever, just a little more chill about it, or I don't know why, but there's so many hot takes on this.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. Social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I didn't know that. You're the first people I've asked, so I'm glad to know this. I'm going to post a video now just to get the.
I was going
to
say
just to get.
Yeah. Don't post about it. Don't put. What I wouldn't do is post the question on Facebook. Hey, when should we?
Turn the
car seat around?
Yeah.
We haven't had young kids in a while. Maybe everyone agrees now. Maybe they came to a consensus.
They've all come to understand.
Yeah. I doubt it, considering how much we debate everything else in the health world.
Yeah.
Well,
all right, can I ask you one more?
Then we got to ask you questions. You're our guest, so,
All right, go ahead then.
Well, this relates. This is a question that Mookie asked. What are some things, some things that your wife, you and your wife are facing as, quote, parents of a certain age that you think younger parents didn't have to face?
Getting up off the floor.
Yeah, I had a bit about this. Yes, 100%. That's got to be,
it's a big deal. I mean, gosh, it's so hard now. And a lot of it's just because I'm getting older, but a lot of it's because I'm on the floor a lot more.
Yeah.
Getting up, like, did gravity get thicker? What is going on?
You just do some yoga while you're down there? Just a little stretching?
Mm-hmm.
I read a New York Times article today. Hope that's not political. But 4 signs if you're aging well. And one of them was how easily you get up off the floor and how much you have to push off of objects and things like that. And I'm like, I'm not aging well.
No, Eleanor's keeping you young.
Yeah.
Getting on the floor and getting up. She's giving you a little exercise.
I guess that's true.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And at the monkey's treehouse.
Monkey's treehouse is so
kids
funny.
Kids are flying at you.
Yeah.
That's what I would say, Mookie.
Yeah. This is somewhat related, and you know, you're going to get a little drive-by roast here, but this is from Jesse. What are some things your daughter has in 2026 that you wish you had as a kid? What are some things you had as a kid in 1906 that you wish your daughter had today? You know, a little roast from
I saw that
from Jesse there. But yeah, I think that is an interesting, obviously the 1906 is silly, but the, some things that you go, are there things that your daughter has that you're like, man, I wish I had that, and vice versa, that you're like, man, that'd have been, you know, I wish she had this.
I wish we had pirate booty.
Oh, pirate booty as a kid would have gone a long way. Yeah. What about you, Brian? Yeah.
Well, we just got her a phone and... For her fourth birthday.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's nothing nice. Crazy. It's a Samsung. It's not. We didn't go crazy.
You know, I mean, I saw that question ahead of time. I even asked Ruth last night. I was like, hey, what's something, you know, I was cheating. I was trying to come up with these answers. I mean, this makes me sound very old and cliche-ic, but I had three channels as a kid.
Yeah.
Growing up. So to watch cartoons, you better be up on Saturday morning, or you're not going to see them. Because before I had when I was really small, I didn't have a VCR. Like, there was no recording shows.
Right.
So this past weekend, I'm watching, like, I get up Saturday morning, I'm like, let's watch some cartoons. There aren't cartoons on Saturday morning anymore. It's like educational shows on,
right.
on
the networks. Boring. But, no, I'm just kidding.
Exactly. She now has access to, of course, anything she wants because, you know, with YouTube and all streaming, she can watch a million shows whenever she wants. And, you know, we take full advantage of it. That's one. Like, for me, it was, you know, as a kid, there was like a very small window that you get to watch your favorite show. And now she can watch it whenever she wants. Mm-hmm. I mean, that we allow.
Yeah,
that's true.
That's the good and the bad of it. They can watch whatever they want,
over and over again.
Over and over again. Yeah. We were talking about that recently. Like, our son's favorite movie was Cars, and that is because that is one of the DVDs we had. You know, like,
specifically when his little sister was born.
Yeah. Exactly.
So we watched a lot of Cars.
Yeah, and you're like, let's watch Cars again. And now they're like, my favorite YouTuber has 4 new videos out today and 2 shorts. You're like, and then we're in our world being like, wow, they're really putting out a lot of content.
Well, in my case, I have like a huge gap from when I was a kid and the kids' shows and movies that were out. And now I went, you know, almost 35 years as an adult.
Right.
Not watching it. And now I'm back into it. So I'm constantly hearing references that I don't even get. I was at John Chris' show a couple of nights ago, and Caleb Elliott had a joke about some woman that he met on the street. And he said, she looked like Mike. God, what was this? Everybody laughed. And I didn't
know. Wazowski?
Yes.
From Monsters? Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know who that is.
Yeah.
And Caleb came off the stage. He's like, hey, do you think that joke's a little mean when I say she looks like Mike? Someone, whatever you just said.
Yeah.
And I said, I don't know who that is.
Yeah. Right. Well, I'm here to tell you, it is mean.
Yes.
That's, Caleb, that's a very mean joke. A tiny little green monster with one eye. Great.
Well, I'll let Caleb know now. But there's so many references to, like, Cars and Toy Story and Frozen that I don't get.
Yeah.
I'm learning, but we've got a lot of catching up to do.
Yeah.
That kind of happened with our third kid. You know, the first two, you're like, we're going to watch a Disney movie, you know, and you would, like, put it on, and it was family movie night, you know. And then by the third, we were kind of out, like, Little League and gymnastics class. So she just kind of missed some of those classic movies.
Yeah.
Like, you need to catch up on your own.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
we're
yeah.
not doing family movie night anymore.
Yeah, no. We might all sit down and watch the new Dude Perfect. But
yeah. You know. And she had to actually go up to, like, Avengers. And, you know, because she had Her brother was 7.5 when she was born.
Yeah.
So we're like, nope, we're not doing the little kid stuff.
That's why her favorite movie is Texas Chainsaw Massacre. she saw when she was 8, and she really loves it. No.
But some studies say now that's what you got to do. Just let them go, right, Melissa? Just
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Trust your body.
Yeah.
Trust your body.
Kind of switching gears here a little bit, and this will be a nice little segue because you got a lot of new stuff, you know, got a new kid, got a new podcast. So this is from Curtis.
Times are changing.
So this is from Curtis. Curtis said, so you co-host the Nate Land podcast for years, and now you co-host the Public Figures. Congratulations on that. Yeah. This is, I think, an interesting question that I want to hear your answer on. How has podcasting shaped your comedy or fan relationships?
Well, fan relationships, it shaped it by I now have fans. Because before the podcast, I really didn't. And I mean, that cruise that we were on together, that was crazy. Right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
When I do shows with Nate in the arena, I feel like 90% of the people there have never seen Nate's podcast. Like, I'm a little surprised at how few people I sense even who don't know who I am on his arena shows. It just goes to show Nate has such a following from so many different areas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the podcast is a very small part. But on that cruise, I don't know if you guys felt like this, but I felt like all 2,300 people knew who we were.
I told Mel this. I'm like, the amount that I'm getting recognized, I can't believe what it's like for Dusty and Brian and Aaron to walk around.
Yeah.
Where, like, I mean, just probably stopped by every other person.
Absolutely. It was a great experience to see what it would be like if you were truly an A-list celebrity and couldn't go anywhere in public.
Because right.
That's mm-hmm. how I felt, just going from place to place, going to get something to eat. It was super cool and fun, but I could see how that would get old really quickly.
Yeah. Mel tapped out at the airport.
And I'm very extroverted and, you know, made the 5 days and we had a couple people stop us at the airport for like long conversations. And I was, because we had a long time before our flight.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's it.
That's the last one.
I'm done talking to people.
Well, that was my least favorite too, was the airport going and going home, because I feel like now we're all on an even playing field and I can't just say, hey, I got to go run and do the show.
Yeah.
You're stuck.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're like, nope, I'm at this gate. You know where I am.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're all the same.
Do you feel, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say to answer his question, podcasts, it helps you keep sharp, I think. And you're trying to be funny for the whole time you're on. And I haven't come up with many jokes from our podcast, but there's been a few that, like, something I'll say on the pod or something I'll think and I'll try it on stage and it's ended up in my act. So it's a good way to at least keep sharp.
Yeah. Yeah.
For
and
sure.
I bet you feel this as well too. Like, you know, people really, because I feel this way with podcasts I listen to, you feel very connected to the person you listen to. Like the first time I met Pete Holmes, he's like, hi, I'm Pete. I'm like, Pete, I can tell you about your first marriage. Like, I know I've been tracking your beliefs for 10 years, you know, like you feel it. So you can, the person that knows you from the podcast in your meet and greet line, and they go up to you and they're like, how's Eleanor? And you're like,
yes.
Whoa.
Yes. Yeah. Well, you know, my power had been out for 10 days before the cruise.
Right.
We'd been staying at Nate's house and we moved home that morning, moved back home. And then I hit the road to the airport. And so many people on the cruise knew, like, up to the minute updates, like, oh, I'm so glad you got back in your house or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, how did you know that? Like,
yeah.
I barely knew that.
Oh yeah. No, I have people come up. They're like, how's Joel doing at San Jose State? They'll just name the college. And you're like, all right. They're like, he's in Campus Village, and they tell me. All right, that's a lot.
Yeah, well, crazy.
Yeah. Well, congrats on the podcast. Excited for you three.
So exciting.
Excited to talk to you. We're due for a phone call catch up too, where you can tell me the things that you said. I'm not going to say this on the podcast because we're recording,
yes.
Which is what I really want to hear. Mm-hmm. And excited to watch it. Well, not the podcast. And excited to watch the special. And good luck with the recording, man.
Well, thank you. I do want to catch up with you because I want to hear about your special that you've recorded. And
went well. Thanks. Excited. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Andy, Andy sent us some footage this week and looks good.
Great.
Mel and Andy designed a beautiful, cool set there. And yeah, excited to share it with all. So.
And when will it be out?
Don't know.
Okay.
I have no idea. Do you know when yours is going to be out?
No.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, 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 yeah. So, yeah.
Stay tuned.
I'll be trying to get on your podcast when I know when mine's going to come out.
Okay.
So, I don't know.
Well, I'll be asking to come back on this one. When
All right. Thanks, buddy.
You're welcome. It's good to see you.
Yeah. All right. Hold on for a second as he let everything upload. Thanks, buddy.
You're welcome.
Yeah. It was,
thanks for having me.
Yeah. It was a good time. Always nice. Well, I'm in D.C. this weekend. Then I'm in Tacoma a little bit after that.
Yeah.
We'll catch up. Where are you? Are you out this weekend?
Tacoma a little bit after that. You're, what, 9 sold-out shows?
Well, you know, it helps when you play an arena and it's your hometown. You get a special amount of love. And also, when you, in certain social medias, exclusively talk about Seattle sports, you're going to pick up a little bit of a fan base. So, When I was in Phoenix, I had some people in Seahawks gear yelling like the Seahawks chant. And I'm like, we can't do this. Yeah. I have to be gracious to the people in Phoenix. They can't have 3 loud, drunk Seahawks fans yelling at me. So
you created this monster, Dustin.
I have created that monster. And I'm like, I'm intentionally 2 episodes in a row did not wear Seattle gear. I'm like, I need to distance myself
a little.
I can't be exclusively that. So.
Mm-hmm.
I was fully expecting yesterday when Kenneth Walker signed with the Chiefs for you to post about. That's the most Seattle thing ever. Win a Super Bowl.
And then, full disclosure, I think that's good business. You can't sign all your guys when they. So we got Kraken Preds tonight. Our teams, I think, play each other tonight. The hard hockey
Seattle?
Teams. Yeah.
I know Preds are playing tonight, so maybe that's it.
Yeah, I think it's Preds Kraken tonight. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Nice. Thanks coming up, Dustin.
We'll see. All right, buddy. Good to talk to you.
Good to see you.
We'll see you.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, everybody. Want to give a special shout out to our As Essential as Oils patrons. That's our $25 a month and up. Thank you, patrons, for making this podcast happen and being such a vital part of our community. Mm-hmm. That is Alex Foos and Sam Graham,
Averill Griffiths,
Allison Nelson,
Andy and Darlene Gerton,
Bonnie Galindo,
Brandon Schoenberger,
Ryan and Amy Nagel,
Byron Smith,
Carrie Teague,
Chris Finn,
Christopher and Bridget Finland,
Code to Grow,
Courtney Ibleen,
Cynthia Carpenter,
Demarius Diaz Stevens,
Daniel Owens,
David and Melissa Cox,
Dave Hoagland,
Dustin Daly,
Jason and Francis White,
Jonathan Ribera,
Jordan Cowan.
I lost my spot. There we go. Juliana Smith.
Christy Harrod.
Lori Amos.
Lauren and Nick Rachel.
Matt and Sam Slosdom.
Michelle Carlson.
Nick Cordell.
Neoma Walker.
Preston and Rachel Wilson.
Restless Mosaic.
Robert and Nellie Capin.
Scott Elliott.
Stephen Mania.
Sorry.
It's all right.
Matt Williams.
Zachary and Tammy Moyle. And Tiffany Payne. Thanks, everybody.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.